Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
The Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup, presented by BF Goodrich on IMSA Radio.
Beautiful morning at the Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course, just outside Lexington, Ohio. Hello, and welcome along to what might well be some of the best entertainment we see all weekend. Standing ready for action, 25 identically prepared Mazda MX-5 Cup cars. It's round 7 and 8 this weekend of the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup, presented by BF Goodrich Tyres. 2.4 miles of the natural terrain road circuits, with the carousel at the end of the lap, the keyhole at the start of the lap, and then the run down towards China Beach, which actually would be turn 1 after the green flag, because we start on the run down the back straight. It's a phenomenal test for any motor racing car, for drivers and for the teams to get the setups right. And these Mazdas are very nimble. Expect to see some unusual overtaking spots, possibly not just those three action areas that I have just been talking about. I'm John Hindhoff. Hello. Welcome along. IMSA Radio and IMSA TV together. Whether you're trackside or around the world tuning in sound and vision, I suspect that you, the vast majority of you, know what you're going to get here. And it's going to be seat of the pants, edge of the seat, and hold your breath racing for the whole of our contests this weekend. We are rolling behind the MX-5 safety car. Let me introduce the second voice that you will hear. Usually patrolling pit lanes around the world, including Daytona and Le Mans, and another part of, long-standing part of our IMSA Radio team. Hello, Shea Adam. Looking forward to this year.
Hello. Yes, always looking forward to Mazda racing, particularly when it's the MX-5 Cup car, particularly when we've got 25 of them in the field. Some new liveries for the race today, some new liveries for this weekend, as necessitated by crash damage, whether it was from St. Petersburg or from yesterday, as a matter of fact. And there's one car in particular I'm keeping an eye on. That's Jared Thomas, car number 96. He qualified very well after an incident yesterday, but he's driving what I'm calling the Santa car, John, because it's Christmas colored. You talk about reasons that this paddock is so great, the camaraderie. If there's a problem with one team, another team will step up and lend a car. We saw it at St. Petersburg. We have it again here at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course. I just love Mazda family.
Yeah, brilliant. They are fantastically good sports in every sense of that word. So, round 7 coming up. Qualifying was yesterday. Let's take a look at how they line up, the 25 cars that have made the grid. On pole position, Michael Carter for Carter Racing Enterprises. In the 08, you'll have Gresham Wagner for company. Those two are first and second in the championship, with 140 points between them coming into this race, because Michael Carter, being on pole position, snagged some points for that. Sam Pearley and Celine Rollin are in third and fourth at 28 and 87. So that's four different teams in the front two rows. Carter Racing Enterprises, Spark Performance, Macumbie McAleer Racing and Hickson Motorsports. Watch out for Sam Pearley in that 28 when we get rolling. He is a demon fast starter. Behind them on row three, Zach Leaf and Justin Piscatell in the 48 and 89, both for Macumbie McAleer Racing. Jared Thomas for JTR Motorsports is on the inside of is on the outside of Rolfe Hoy. He's got Juan Hernandez for Team Guatemala Racing for company in the number 59. On the fifth row, 13, Jason Altman for Macumbi McAleer Racing. Hernan Palermo Slipstream Performance is in 10th position in the 20. Just outside the top 10, Luke Kamars in the 41, Daniel Williams in the 38 for Copeland Motorsport. That's a full Copeland Copeland row there. Then it's rookie points leader Chris Nunes in 13th, David Staub in 14th. Aaron Jansson won't be happy at being down in 15th, Moise Oretzky in 16th. Alex Petura, Drake Kemper, Brian Ortiz, Lonnie Unser, Savannah Little, Woody Hyman, then Brian Hickson, Peter Atwater and Mike Globe. That is the 25-car field. The clock started as we went across what will become the finish line. We go green now with 44 minutes of the 45 remaining, and the pole sitter Michael Carter gets a decent run in the red hooded car. Watch out for Gresham Wagner. He's having a look round the outside. Two red and white cars on the front row, but it is the pole man who just about gets away in the 08 for Carter Racing Enterprises. First two together. Pearly drops into third, just ahead of the multicoloured fourth place Céline Roland for Hickson Motorsports. They scream through the S's for the first time. My goodness, that was tight. I said they'd be overtaking in unusual places. I think we went three wide through turn six and seven there, and off for the second place driver. All four BF Goodrich tyres on the grass for Gresham Wagner there. The Spark Performance car then slightly slowed. He's going to lose second place, has lost second place. Clearly comes through. We haven't completed even three quarters of a racing lap yet, and it's all kicked off early. Pearly in the 28 goes into second position, and that's allowed Michael Carter in the 08 to get away across the stripe at the end of the first lap. Not all of it being under green, remember, but the gap at the end of that first lap in terms of the lead to second is a very comfortable one for our pole sitter Michael Carter. 1.15 seconds, and that down to a wee mistake and a sideways moment right across the yellow curb at turn 9 into Thunder Valley. Great save by Gresham Wagner. He can rebuild from there, Shea. He'll not be happy at being in third, but he's still in the fight.
No, and that was definitely an unintended moment for Gresham Wagner, as his hands were pointing in the wrong direction to the track to try and get that one safe. There was a bit of debris that came off the car further back as they came down the long stretch before the run into turn four, though. But as you rightly say, Michael Carter, championship leader, pole sitter to start this race, which means that he added to his championship lead. He is feeling quite comfortable out there, and Gresham Wagner, who was the championship leader before the race at St. Petersburg, the first race, he knows that his work is cut out for him today, and losing that position to Sam Paley has not made his life any easier.
Exactly, and Hernan Palermo, the 48 and the number 20, very close contact between the metallic gold and the yellow car on the first lap. And as I took my eyes out that for a second, of course, there's been a change of position. Ooh. In second place. And that is the number five going back into second place. Spark Performance and Gresham Wagner. But he's now got, well, he's sort of lost another tenth of a second, so it's not disastrous. But now it's got to be Wagner, Pearly, Roland and Piscatel who's on the back of there in the 89, which is the light blue Mazda with the yellow stripe down the middle. Behind that, a new colour scheme for Jared Thomas. He normally runs, or has been running to this point, a silver car, but much more colour on the JTR number 96 this weekend. I wonder if they can work together. Side by side, coming out of the keyhole for Aaron Jansson, Chris Nunes alongside it for JTR. They're battling over 14th and 15th position. The red Mazda with the white stripes and the dark soul red crystal car having the scrap at the moment just outside the top 10. Aaron Jansson will be desperate to make up some ground. Gets up the inside of Chris Nunes in the 32 JTR car and now is on the back of the 36. Dominic Staab, the Slipstream Performance. That's another one of the blue cars. So that dark red soul crystal car signifying championship for Mazda drivers for many years. And Johnson then fighting his way back, had a not great run at St. Pete's, and he hasn't had a good qualifying here. Shea is in front. It's another mistake by the number five. Gresham Wagner is pushing hard, is dragging Paley, Roland and Piscatel close to Carter, but off the circuit again. So that's both sides of the track he's been off. That was the exit of turn 11. That is super quick, but he has closed the gap. He's half the gap to the leader. This is about to get really interesting with the top five now breaking away. Piscatel, the blue car, the fifth in line now, and it's first to fifth together at the keyhole.
I wonder if Gresham Wagner's been hired out for a bit of a side job this weekend to do some groundskeeping at Mid-Ohio, because he spent a lot of time with BF Goodrich's on the dirt. But an interesting qualifying session this morning, John. Carter's fast lap came at the end of the session to steal the pole position away from Gresham Wagner, who was out there the whole time. Both cars did 18 laps, according to timing and scoring, but Wagner doing his fast lap on lap four, Carter's came on lap 14. So there was a lot of running, and the tires just get better and better. Tom Long, longtime factory Mazda driver, went out and ran in both of the practice sessions yesterday in an MX-5 Cup car. He said the grip kept getting better and better at the front of the car as the long runs progress. In other words, the cars get better the longer they're out there running around, which means we're in for a treat as this race winds down.
Hannah Palermo getting really close, as we said there, to the bright gold car, and had such a presence of mind in that yellow number 20 that when they touched the door mirrors, they actually clashed, and he's lost part of the door mirror housing, and it bent it in, so he wouldn't have been able to see anything from the left hand side mirror. So he just casually, as he's driving along through the S's, flat out in traffic, side by side, reached out with his left hand and put it back in position. Brilliant stuff. Don't think the other car was able to do that, Zachary Lee, in the 48, because of course it's on the other side of the car and he won't be able to stretch all the way across. So right hand mirror missing on the gold car, and so great driving. And Palermo up to sixth now and trying to bridge the gap. He's the first of the second group of cars, top five, with Piscatel, blue car, yellow wheels, in fifth position. First, second, third, fourth, fifth through turn four, over the top at five and dropping down into turn six. Then a wee bit of a gap, let's call it about a second maybe, to Palermo, then Jared Thomas in that new livery, the green and white rather than the full silver on the 96. Then Zachary Lee for McCombie McAleer Racing, the 48, then Williams, then Hernandez. Jensen Altman's lost a few places, but he'll be keeping out of trouble. Remember, there's another race later on, and you cannot afford a non-score by damaging the car in this first race. And we've seen how that's affected the championship contenders in the past year.
Yeah, and I've just realized, actually, the light bulb just went off as you were talking about that for championship. Gresham Wagner wants to lead because that's 10 more points, most laps led. He already lost out on the 10 points to Michael Carter for the pole position, but he can get fastest lap, which right now is Celine Roland, who's got that honor. So he can still get 20 points out of this race, but he needs to get to the front in order to make that happen.
Bonus points. Oh, hang on. Three wide into the keyhole. Very classic colour scheme for the 59. That's the Hernandez team, Guatemala Racing, white with the blue racing stripes down the middle of it, and side by side with one of the slipstream cars there. That's the Williams, the Copeland Motorsports, number 38 rather, not the slipstream car. They all have the same basic shapes, although different colours on their liveries, if you see what I mean. Same design. Great overtaking right the way through the field. Two groups of five breaking away. Actually, no, we've got a pair trying to get across the gap, and that is Palermo and Thomas. So Hernan Palermo and Jared Thomas, the 20 and the 96, sixth and seventh, have broken away from the battle behind them. which is now led by the number 48. And that is, of course, Zach Lee, the man from San Antonio, Texas. Oh, a little bit of bump drafting. Well, actually, just bumping under braking, going into the carousel in that third group of cars, which is battling on the extremities of the top 10. Luke Mars, Jensen Altman, and the 38 at the front of that is Daniel Williams. And they were all getting a little too close for comfort coming through turn 11 and 12. 11 into 12. Social distancing just about, I think, still 6 feet apart, even if Nose was rubbing tail there. 35 minutes still to go, so plenty of racing left, and the top five are together. Piscatel for the moment at turn four just losing maybe a couple of cars lengths. Nice dive down the inside, further back down the field for Luke Mars on the outskirts of the top 10, having the battle with Jensen Altman. Altman still holding on to 10th position in the number 13, the red, white and black McCombie car. It's the 41 of Luke Mars who's behind him for Copeland, with the white, mostly white bonnet, and then the bright orange with the black in that Copeland livery. Behind him, Hernandez, Johnson. In fact, actually, that's the 38, so they've both got past. I reckon they've got up a position there as they come across the line. We'll see that change on the timing and scoring, because I think Williams dropped back there behind them both. Yes, he did. It's the number 38 of Dan Williams for Copeland Motorsports. So the top five head up the hill, still over half an hour to go. Typical fare of what we've seen this season, rounds 7 and 8, and that the first 6 rounds here have been absolutely awesome. Plenty of action all the way through. There's going to be contact between the number 55, that's Moise Oretzky, and the slipstream car ahead was the number 36 of David Staub, but they managed to get away with it. We're seeing right from the start of the season, though, the three drivers in championship contention, Carter, Wagner and Roland, they have been the guys who more often than not have been at the front of the field. Sam Paley's always had the pace, but hasn't always had the result share.
Yeah, he finished second in the first race of the season and the first race of his rookie championship also, it should be noted. And then fifth, seventh, a DNF at St. Petersburg really threw him out of it, and a bad finish in the second race at Sebring. But 2 second-place finishes for Sam Paley. He's been impressive, but as you said, it's been Wagner, Carter, and Roland that have been the three guys that have been the ones to talk about. Now, they are the ones that are going for the $250,000 overall championship, but there's a lot more on the line than that. Zachary Lee has a bit of an off-track excursion.
At the carousel, didn't go far enough off that he had to show his pass to get back on the track. That was the other car that had the door mirror pointing in the right direction, but he couldn't reach it. Onto the grass, got a bit of a slippery moment coming through the exit to turn 11, and managed to hold onto it. Rejoins with grass on the BF Goodrich tyres. You mentioned it was mention of the rookie championship there, Shea. Very well timed, because I've just noticed the man leading the rookie championship, Chris Nunes for JTR, is down in 13th position. So that's good news for Sam Paley in his quest to close the gap on the championship leader for the rookie points.
Well, it is. And also, when you consider that Sam Paley is third overall right now, the next rookie in class is Jensen Altman in eighth, then Luca Mars in ninth, Dan Williams in 10th. Those are not the guys that he's currently fighting for that rookie championship in terms of having enough points.
And big money available throughout the field, more than $500,000.
Awesome. And why do we care about a rookie championship? 80 grand, that's why.
Yeah, exactly. And that's just part of the over $500,000 that will be being handed out at the end of the championship this year when we get to Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta, crowning champions and it's 250,000 share for the championship winner.
Yeah, but they pay all the way down to 10th place in the championship too, so there's a lot of opportunity to come away with good points. And I think that was just Celine Roland getting around Sam Paley. So Sam is being very heads up at this point in the race. He realizes that the three guys ahead of him are the three guys who are always at the front, and he's got enough of a gap back to next in the rookie championship. He's being smart. I like Sam Haley's driving.
It might be with half an hour left, he's saving a bit of performance on his BF Goodrich tyres. Let's see if they start to break away. We've seen these three drivers work together in the past. I know that sounds odd because they're all from different teams. It's Carter Racing Enterprises, from Spark Performance, from Hixon Motorsports. But if you can break the toe to the fourth place driver, McCombie McAleer Racing, fourth and fifth at the moment with the black Sam Paley number 28 and the blue number 89 of Justin Piscitel, if you can get away from them, then you're basically only fighting for a podium, aren't you? When we've had the drivers talk to us about that, I'm amazed they've even got the mental capacity to think like that when there's so much going on around them. Proper, pure racing with these Mazda MX-5 Roadsters. So open top, they make quite a big hole in the air, so you will see some drafting, some slipstreaming down the longer, faster, straight stretches in particular of the 2.25 miles here at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course. Extensively remodeled. The cars come in from Japan, straight off the streetcar line, and they go up to Fliss at Daytona, where they basically take them all apart again. And I'm not kidding you. They strip everything out, and virtually nothing is left untouched, except for one rather important component. The 2-litre engine is exactly the same as you would have off the showroom floor at your local Mazda dealer. 180 brake horsepower. The engines are sealed, so there can be no jiggery or pokery with the four-cylinder Mazda engine. But the rest of the car, with over 250 racing parts on it, including an FIA cage, door bars, a Sadev six-speed sequential gearbox, so not an H pattern. The guys having to get used to that. That's been a recent addition to the specification. Multimatic suspension, very, very clever suspension. In fact, this is the least expensive way to get that highly, highly technically advanced race car suspension of any racing series. And it gives the engineers a chance to make their difference as well. So a proper racing car delivering proper racing in the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup, presented by BF Goodrich Tyres.
For $80,000, you get a car, two races on a weekend, a lot of practice time, and a great qualifying session. It's the best value in racing.
It has to be. And when there's 250 grand up for grabs, a lot of the teams telling me 150,000, 160,000 for the year, you could be making a profit on this. Side by side into the keyhole. And a bit of stout defence by Gresham Wagner there. Couldn't stop Celine Roland going into second. Almost let Sam Paley through as well. And Michael Carter gets a breathing space once again. And he pulls away. So the battle's now on for second, third and fourth. The Hixon jigsaw puzzle. Autism Speaks. Big awareness programme for autism by Hixon and by Celine, one of a number of really good causes that have been supported, not just here in the Mazda paddock, but across the IMSA series, proving, as if we didn't know, what big hearts everybody in racing has for good causes, bringing attention to them. So first, still Carter, 25 minutes to go.
Céline Roland has a bit of a reputation to uphold at this stage in the season. The last two races, race one, has been won by Céline. So he's got to keep that going. He's got to get the win today in order to keep that pattern alive. But for Céline Roland, do you know how he came to be with Hixon Motorsport? It's kind of a cool story.
Go on.
He and his dad owned a spec Miata team called BSI, which Brian Hixon acquired and said, nope, you're going to be a part of my team. And it's been one of the best things that Brian Hixon ever did.
That's Sam Paley going through in a second, into third position. So a couple of less than optimal laps for Gresham Wagner has seen him drop from second down to fourth, overtaken at the same point twice, just going into and through the keyhole at the top end of the racetrack. These five absolutely together. I like the look of Piscatel at the moment. He's not been sliding that blue car with the yellow wheels around. I think he's saving a little bit of performance. We've still got 25 minutes to go, which is something in the region of what, 17, 18 laps, isn't it? A little bit less than that, maybe 15 laps to go. So there's plenty of racing left here, and you want to be able to fight. Now, as I say that, the top three begin to break away, but I doubt, unless they work together and there's been no sign of that happening at the front of the field, I doubt that that breakaway will happen, Shay.
I'm completely with you on that. And Justin Piscatel with Sam Paley in that five-car group, they are both from McCombie McAleer Racing. So we talked about the fact that the front three are basically out there running along on their own. Well, Sam Paley, Justin Piscatel, as the time starts to wind down, the McCombie McAleer crew, they can start to work together. And also, keep in mind, both McCombie and McAleer are racing this weekend.
Yep.
And McAleer was just out on track before this race began. What is Stephen telling his drivers about the track conditions?
Yeah, it's a very good point. A little bit of damage on the right rear guard of the second place car. I don't think it's holding Céline Roland back. In fact, I'm fairly certain it isn't. He's right on the tail now of Michael Carter. Looks out for a moment. It's not even the bodywork of the car, it's the rear bumper cover, which is just flapping around in the airflow, which caught my eye. It's been like that for a couple of laps. Paley just between the two pairs, first and second, fourth and fifth, but Paley in that black number 28 trying to get back on terms with the leader. Gresham Wagner seems to be just in a phase of the race that isn't quite suiting his Spark Performance MX5 at the moment, and Piscatel will not want to lose too much more ground. He's getting to around about 2 seconds away from the leaders. Jared Thomas has fought his way through to sixth position, and Palermo in seventh. Those two have split up, and Luca Mars has caught Palermo, and he's brought Altman. Well, he's got past Altman, but they're both catching up to the seventh place, Hernan Palermo, into the carousel. Always a good place if you're brave to try and look down the inside. Lonnie Unser has improved to 17th position. Two top 10 finishing positions by Lonnie last time out on the streets of St. Pete's, and that was a first by a female driver in the series here.
And she was so happy about that, John. I talked to her briefly after, as we have a
pass
for the lead. There's something.
No, the lead is gone. The lead is gone. There's a problem with the car. The 0-8 of Michael Carter. Oh, this is disaster for the man leading this race and leading the championship by a scant 140 points. And Roland was delayed, and Sam Paley took the opportunity to go for the lead there. So Céline Roland leads it now, and now we've got four cars. But what happened there to Michael Carter? He comes through the keyhole and didn't punch off the corner, or did?
No.
I don't think he got out the corner properly. Now, did he get it stuck in a gear? There was a little push on the back from Céline Roland, but it was nothing.
Ooh.
It was nothing that was too... I certainly wouldn't have caused him to slow down that much. I wonder if he'd got stuck in a gear, couldn't get it to shift, and he's dropped back a little bit. but the pace has picked up again. He's almost on the back of Piscatel. So the five are almost back together again. But this time, Carter, who was leading, is in fifth. Piscatel in fourth in the McCombie McAleer Racing blue number 89. Then it's Gresham Wagner, who's back up to third, of course, for Spark Performance in the five. Sam Pearley in the black, number 28, is second. And leading Celine Rolland for Hixon and the Autism Speaks cars. That's the 87. All change at the front. Almost like they're taking turns there. But that was an odd one. It's very difficult to miss a gear in a sequential box. But I wonder if he just couldn't make the gear change here, because he got back up to speed pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's definitely a worrying thing to see, particularly from the championship leader. The only thing that I can think that's good news out of this is that he has led the most laps of this race, because more than half distance fell while before that incident happened, so I should say. So Michael Carter will get those additional 10 points for leading the most laps in today's race, but that's not going to be good enough. If he doesn't come away with the race win, he's not going to be happy.
So 20 minutes to go of the first of two races this weekend at the Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course. It's Mazda MX-5 for 2021, the Idemitsu MX-5 Cup, presented by BF Goodrich Tyres. Shea Adam and John Hindhoff taking you through the action with barely time to breathe and no time to sit down here in the commentary box. Well, whatever was ailing Carter in the 08, as they come round to complete another lap and go past what will be the finish line, Carter is right back onto Piscatel, who's right back onto Gresham Wagner, who's sitting nicely in behind Sam Pearley, who's tracking the leader. Up the hill they go through turn one. Bright green car in sixth position is Jared Thomas. It's going to take some getting used to. So used to seeing that plain-ish silver JTR Motorsport car, but at least it's nice and bright, that number 96. And then everybody else is having a scrap. It looks like Hernandez for Team Guatemala is side-by-side with the red, white and black of Jensen Altman, who's now back down in 10th position as he went across the line. So there's been some action there. He was up as high as 7th and 8th position. Palermo still in there as well. Daniel Williams in the lighter coloured number 38, the Copeland Motorsport car. He's down the inside. That's the bright yellow car as they're going to four. Altman at the moment fighting a rear guard action. But everybody in there is fighting position. Chris Noon's fighting his way through for JTR. That's the red, white and black car. And in behind him is Aaron Johnson. So Noon's the man who leads the rookie category in the championship as we come into round seven, or race seven. That's the car with the left hand. No, he's got the hazard flashes on, has he? Both sides of that car. Can certainly see the right hand indicator flashing at the moment. But he's not turning off, at least I wouldn't think so. So he's maybe just hit the stalk when he was catching a slide. Great action at the keyhole last time around. And once again, the right-hand side of the number 48, the gold metallic car, Zachary Lee, under attack, this time by Alex Batura for slipstream. Didn't knock the mirror straight, though. Meantime, back at the front of the field here. So, what have we got? 16 minutes left, plenty of time. Where do you want to be in that queue? Are you happy being Celine Rolland in the 87? Are you happy being Sam Pearley, because you're kind of attacking as he is now, and defending? Oh, this is a classic Mid-Ohio move down the inside to turn four. Beautifully done. Gets clear of the erstwhile leader, who has to defend on the inside from third place Gresham Wagner. Well, Sam Pearley clearly didn't want to be in second position there, Shane.
Sam Pearley driving not like a rookie, but like a veteran, pulling that move off on Celine Rolland going into that turn. I mean, just ideal textbook sort of move to make the pass into turn four. I'm so impressed with Pearley and what he's been able to accomplish. But also thinking about it, rookie going for the rookie championship, might win his first race today, dare I say it. Hope I'm not jinxing him.
Pass for position at the bottom of the top 10 there. That's Hernandez going through in the Team Guatemala racing car. So Jensen Altman has slipped down to 10th in the McCombie McAleer racing machine, and he's got more company there with the number 32, Chris Nunes for JTR Motorsports Engineering. And it is the four-way flashes that he's got on that car. So he's clipped something while he's been driving. Not affecting his pace at the moment. As Paley leads, 15 minutes to go. Magnificent stuff, this. Absolutely magnificent. Exactly what we expect of Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup. Exactly. Computer says 10 laps to go at the end of this one. Should just about squeeze that in. Paley still leading that quintet of MX-5s. Great cars. Really talk to you. Let you know exactly what's going. It's proper motor racing, and the skills you learn here will set you up for your motor racing career if you want to go on. Although increasingly, and understandably, with $500,000+ up for grabs, increasingly these drivers share are multi-year in the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup and are racing here because A, the racing is fantastic, B, it's cost effective, but C, they are getting good prize money, and moving up through the classes, that might not be the case.
Oh, they really are making a career out of it. Two former series champions are in this race right now here today. And then if you expand it out over the course of the weekend, we've got four former series champions racing across the IMSA platforms this weekend. It really is a fantastic place not only to hone your skills but to perfect it, and then to keep coming back and prove why you're the champion, which is exactly what Michael Carter's trying to do this year.
Round the outside into the keyhole, and that is a brave, bold maneuver, seldom done, often tried, but he's pulled it off and back into the lead for Celine Rolland. Magnificent stuff. Top three, bumper to bumper. Here's Paley, likes the overtake down the right hand side, the inside at turn number four, but this time Rolland is hanging out on the inside. Hold your breath, everybody, breathe in, step back from the fence on the right hand side there. My goodness, they have all got through. Great driving, great respect. The guys, They are super competitive, but every time we interview these guys, they'll be loving this. There'll be big smiles underneath the racing helmets of all of these drivers. Paley, Rolland, Wagner, Piscatel. Carter still in fifth position. Well, it's Rolland now leading, but Paley at one stage just about got his nose ahead there between four and five. But Rolland was refusing to give that position up and cede the lead. Just bouncing through to the end of another lap, completing across the line, 20 laps, 12 minutes to go. No clues here. What do you reckon?
No, the average margin of victory this season, John, is 0.3 seconds, which, to put it in context, the only cars that are close enough to give you a perspective, first to second. So no clue who's going to come away with this one.
Well, I tell you, who else is having a cracking run? And that's Jared Thomas. Thomas in the green and white car has cut the gap between himself and the top five down to just on a second there. And he has clearly got some performance. Of course, the cars ahead are all fighting, not taking the perfect racing line. And that's giving them the opportunity to come back. Oh, Piscatel has a look. One, two wide, almost three wide, as Sam Paley made a mistake. Piscatel will dive down the inside to turn six. That is a big manoeuvre. Can't get it done. Discretion, the better part of valour there, I think, by Piscatel. Justin has a lot of experiences around this track, a lot of experience around this track. He knows what is and isn't possible and wasn't prepared with still 11 minutes to go. Now, if that had been the last lap, might have been a different thought process. But he thinks he's going to get another chance on that black Sam Paley car ahead of him as they come through 11 and into the carousel again. And as they come across the line this time, computer says six laps to go. Great action at Madness. Sideways from Paley is what got him back into the clutches of Gresham Wagner and Piscatel. Wagner had to check up with the left-hand side BF coverages of the 28 car in the grass. Piscatel ran the outside but couldn't make the run through into second, or at least didn't try it. Now, all of that has brought Jared Thomas into it. Further back down, the 59 of Juan Hernandez is sitting in ninth position in the white with the blue stripes. And behind him, it's one of the Cortland cars, isn't it? Right in behind him. That's the Williams car. Yes, it is. And they're having their own scrap on the outskirts of the top 10. So Daniel Williams trying to move up a position. Here comes Wagner on Piscatel. Now, this is down to six. Piscatel eschewed the opportunity last time, but Wagner says, I'm going to make it happen. And maybe Michael Carter can come through here as well. And here's Jared Thomas in the green car. They're all having a look at the back of Piscatel. So from, what, two laps ago, Piscatel trying for second. He's now back down to fourth position. This is Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Racing at its absolute flat-out on the ragged edge and over it best. Tremendous stuff. Tremendous stuff. And Jared's right there now, Shea. And you've got to wonder what he's going to be able to do now he's got to the back of that group of cars.
Yeah, and Jared Thomas, full credit to the JTR engineering team. Jared had a crash yesterday in the second practice session. It made the car undrivable for this weekend. They went to Copeland. They rented a car from Peter Atwater and Copeland Motorsport to be able to participate in the race today. The crew worked until nearly 11 o'clock last night getting this green, red, white, yellow car ready to go. Christmas came early, and Jared Thomas right now in sixth, looking to move up even more. He's all over the tail of Michael Carter, who's all over the tail of Justin Piscatel, who's pretty close to the back of Gresham Wagner. But Gresham keeps missing his braking point going into turn four, and that's what has pushed him back into the clutches of this group.
Carter thinks about the inside pass at the bottom of the hill. China Beach in front. Get in there. You'll struggle to get out. There's a bit of grass, though, in fairness. It's not China Beach is the local name for the big gravel trap down there at turn four. There is a bit of grass, so if you can stay calm, you can often steer around it and not go straight in. If you lock everything up, you're going up to your axles in the kitty litter, I'm afraid. On to Thunder Valley again. Leader Céline Roland by a second from Sam Paley. Paley not away, though, from the attentions of Wagner, Piscatel, Carter, Thomas. Then a six-second gap back to Luca Mars, who's got Herdan Palermo behind him now. Then Juan Hernandez. He's about another 3 seconds further back, just holding on to ninth position from Dan Williams and Jensen Altman and Chris Nunes. And Aaron Jeansom and Drake Kemper back there, as well as some big names on the outskirts of the top 10, streaming through turn one now and heading up the hill with just on 7 minutes to go. Hernandez in the white and blue striped car. The Team Guatemala, blue and white with those blue racing stripes, had a lucky mascot in that car, Shea, that we sometimes get to see for Herdan Palermo, in the slipstream car.
Herdan Palermo with his llama stuffy that he brings with him to all the races. He's a llama farmer, clearly. And the collective should have a favorite driver to cheer for. But you were just talking about the Provision Motorsports cars out there, John, running the car number 24 and 99 for Aaron Jeansom and Drake Kemper. Those are two different liveried cars as well from what we're used to seeing after the terrible weekend that they suffered at St. Petersburg. They've come back. They've brought two new, well, new to them cars for this weekend. Jeansom turning his first laps of the weekend in qualifying this morning. And Drake Kemper, after that scary crash that we saw at St. Pete, all he needed was a new Hans device. He's a bit battered and bruised, but he is recovering by driving a race car. It's the best medicine out there.
Well, and just proof and further testament of the fact that this may be relatively cost-effective racing, but nothing skimped on the safety provisions of these pure racing cars. We're going to have three wide again, going up into the braking area at the keyhole. Jared Thomas says, you know what, I'm going to take the wide line and see if I can get the cut back, get a bit of a draft in that green and white sixth place JTR Motorsport engineering machine. It's got a decent draft. Can he draft Michael Carter? Leader clear by just over a second, 1.2. Sam Paley's under pressure. He knows he is. He goes to the middle of the road, trying to block the inside line. That's his favourite manoeuvre. Brakes super late. The car squirming around under the forces of the braking as all the weight comes forward and the back end starts to lift off the ground. It's a downhill braking area there. Really unsettles these cars. That's a decent lead, you know. Still the second for Celine Roland. He'll be trying not to look in his mirror here, but it seems like it's starting to get a little bit more competitive for second on downshift, and I think that's good news for Roland at the head of the field.
It is, and the more that Paley comes under pressure from Wagner, the slower that those two will make themselves. So Celine Roland, looking in the mirror, wants to see the red nose of Gresham Wagner.
Oh, that touch!
Means, as he gets Piscatel. Pushed out of the way.
Piscatel into the carousel, right on the rear bumper of Gresham Wagner, and just eased him. Excuse me, coming through. Just eased him out a little bit. Wagner recovers and drops straight back into position. Bit of dirt thrown up by Paley. And that's what got Gresham sideways. He came up on the back of Sam, possibly a little bit quicker. Tried to sort of MotoGP it in and back it in sideways into the carousel at turn 12. Just didn't quite grab it. Maybe overheating his BF Goodrich tyres as well at the moment. Oh, that's interesting. There's a change of position then at the bottom end of the top 10 as Daniel Williams has got ahead of the Team Guatemala Racing white and blue of Juan Hernandez, the 59 car. So the yellow and grey car, that's a new position for that car. It's not going to hold on to it for very long as Team Guatemala comes down the inside. Juan Hernandez, now he's going to be hung out on the outside at turn at number 5 and down the hill to 6. Has he got it down there? And here comes Altman trying to follow through. They're still side by side. This is the third, make that the fourth corner that they've gone side by side through, and Hernandez finally gets through and makes the manoeuvre and through turn 9 side by side. I've not seen that done for years. Into Thunder Valley, Altman has the right hand side, the inside for the kink. Now he'll be on the outside as they sweep through the very fast turn 11, but then Altman has got to try and keep it on the road, and he just about does that but can't take the position from the number 38 of Dan Williams. Wow, fabulous driving. What was that? 3, 4, 5 corners that we had two cars side by side? Brilliant racing again. Half a lap.
Yeah.
Right. 2 minutes to go. So this one and one more for the leaders, I think.
Ooh, 1.3 seconds for the lead now, John.
Yeah.
That might as well be a lap for Celine Roland.
Oh, great move by Olsen. Jensen Altman goes right around the outside. That's another outside pass at the keyhole. Haven't seen that for a while, and now we've seen it twice in the race. Altman trying to ease across to the right-hand side, going down the hill towards turn 4. On the grass, the inside wheels, the right-hand side wheels of Dan Williams, puts the BF Goodriches on the grass to get the inside line. There's a little touch as they go through 4. And Altman drops back. He's under great pressure now by Drake Kemper in the blue number 99. Behind him with the four ways on is Aaron Johnson. Excuse me, no, that's not Johnson. That's Chris Nunes, isn't it?
Yep, Chris Nunes with the flashers on. Johnson right behind him, but Drake Kemper on a recovery drive. He didn't get to participate in the last race. He's trying to make up for it now, as we should be getting the white flag this time by as Celine Roland comes across the finish line, not the start line. There it is. One more to go. 2.258 miles.
Yeah, and 1.5 seconds is an age. You measure that with a calendar, not a stopwatch in MX5 racing. Up the hill for the final time then. And Celine Roland will be just getting his breathing under control, making sure he hits his mark. Super late down the inside manoeuvre. Last of the late breakers by the number 5. That's Gresham Wagner. But Nah, couldn't get it done. Piscatel was wise to it, just left his braking, let off the pedal, keeps hold of what is third at the moment. Pearly, Piscatel, Wagner, Thomas and Carter, five really quality drivers battling for two steps on the podium. Pearly goes very defensively indeed into four. Here comes Wagner. He gets side by side with the blue 89. That's Piscatel with the yellow wheels. They're still side by side over the top now, down to six. This time it will be the dive down the inside by Gresham Wagner, but they're still side by side. And here's Thomas coming along as well with the green front. They drop in line astern as they come through turn eight towards the rise at turn nine. This has allowed Sam Pearly to get away. Maybe he's going to hold on to second position. Jared Thomas looking the man most likely at the moment, moving around left and right. Piscatel holding on to the final spot on the podium as our leader and soon to be winner of round seven of the 2021 Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup, presented by BF Goodrich Tyres. Céline Roland sees the checkered flag first. Pearly is second. Piscatel hard fought third position. Then fourth Wagner, fifth Jared Thomas. Michael Carter will be kicking himself. What happened with that when he was leading, when he got that wee tap? He'll finish sixth. Luca Mars in seventh. Hernan Palermo comes through in eighth position. Then Juan Hernandez. Then Dan Williams from Altman in 11th. Drake Kemper, Chris Noones, the rookie points leader, coming in to this race. Aaron Johnson up to 14th from Staab Ortiz. Lonnie Unser in 17th. And the top 20, Zachary Lee, Alex Pachura and Moise Uretsky dropping back to 20th position, with the rest of the field coming in. Shea Adam, a phenomenal run. And Céline Roland taking his opportunity when it came his way. And from then on, he let the others fight for the scraps from the Hixon Motorsport top table. Well driven by our winner.
Very well done. Third consecutive race weekend where race one has been won by Céline Roland. I have to give massive props, by the way, to Sam Pearly. It's his third second place finish of the season out of seven races. That kid has a win coming soon. And Justin Piscatel playing tail gunner for his team car, bringing home his first podium of the year. I wouldn't have thought it would take seven races for Piscatel to get a podium, but wow, what a race.
A lot of people finding their form here. Piscatel will be delighted with that. As you say, he's not had the start of the season that his experience or his competitive nature perhaps warrants, but he's got his podium. He's got a tick in the podium column at least. I'd say Sam Pearly, he'll be relatively happy with that. He was contending. He got the car to the finish. Good points for him in the rookie championship as well. But another win for Céline Roland. And that's three times in three race weekends that the number 87 Hixon Motorsport Autism Speaks Mazda MX-5 has been to Victory Circle in race one of the event weekend. Excellent job. So he comes out of the box very quickly indeed. Now, can he get himself another decent finish in race two tomorrow? By then, our pulse rates might have subsided just a wee bit. Let's take a look at the unofficial Mazda results for round seven of the 2021 Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup, presented by BF Goodrich Tyres. Hixon Motorsport, Céline Roland wins it by a second and a half at the end to a second and third place finish for Macumbi McAleer Racing. Second for the black number 28 of Sam Pearly. Third position, Justin Piscatel in the blue number 89. Just off the podium, and frankly, it could have been any two of the top six on the podium. Gresham Wagner gets good points for his championship charge. He's in, came in second this weekend ahead of Jared Thomas for JTR. I think he'll not be too disappointed with that finish in the new livery on that number 96. Michael Carter, championship leader coming in, only picks up sixth position points. That is going to close everything up and make a very interesting race tomorrow. I was going to say I got the slight thought that they might have been holding back a bit to keep the cars straight for tomorrow. even as that thought was forming in my head, I'm not sure that that was true, because that's the sort of clean racing, close racing that we're used to seeing in MX5 Cup racing this year for the 2021 Championship. And we've already got Céline Roland out of the car, and with a bit of luck, we'll have the opportunity to have a chat with him, chilling out with his headphones on. And let's see if we can have a quick word with him. We've gone back to old-fashioned technology nowadays, with the requirements from IMSA, of course, taking a well-earned drink for Céline Roland. Got to say a big hello as well to Trey Lucas, who we know is watching on. Trey, I hope you enjoyed that. Huge audience around the world tuning in for the first of two races this weekend. She is working away with the points at the end of that. Just a note, it was Céline Roland who got the 10 points for fastest lap, 136.294. And therefore, he'll get the extra points. I think it was Michael Carter who got the bonus point share for leading the most laps. I reckon that is going to close things up mightily. It was only 140 points anyway before this race started today.
Yeah, it was. And then when you consider the amount of points given as bonus versus the amount of points given that you earn, 350 for the race win, 320 for second, and 300 for third, it's going to be close.
Very close indeed. Céline Roland waiting to go to the podium. Céline, congratulations, mate. Three times in three events that you've won the first race on the event weekend. Well done.
Thank you, man. My engineer called me Mr. Saturday on the radio. It was pretty exciting.
That was another battle at the front of the field. The opportunity presented itself for you to go to the front. What happened with Michael when he slowed down? Any ideas?
Seems to be something similar to what happened to me at Sebring and St. Pete. It's something we're figuring out, but yeah, it's unfortunate. You never want to see a buddy like that go out like that. I think he finished, so that's good. I saw him in the pack there, but yeah, it was good racing. We were making a gap. I was working with him, and yeah, he just had nothing out of the keyhole there.
Yeah, it looked like that, almost like he couldn't get a gear or something like that. But you take the opportunities however they come, Céline. And I said in commentary, I thought you guys looked like you were enjoying yourself. There's a lot of camaraderie, a lot of respect between you guys. Was there a big smile underneath your racing helmet there?
Definitely after winning, yeah. I'm usually not the biggest fan of this place. I've had a monkey on my shoulder in mid-Ohio, but wow, I had a great Hixon Motorsports MX5 Cup car. That thing was on rails, and you know, I'm so happy to be driving it for Autism Speaks. And yeah, the car was great. Once I got that gap, I mean, I hate to say it, but it was almost easy to drive. You know, it was driving itself, and I was just kind of like a passenger. It was so good, and just trying to hit my marks, no mistakes, and happy to bring home our third win.
What will you be saying to the Hixon Motorsport crew tonight and going into tomorrow? Any changes you think you want to make?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you that. I can't give away my secrets. But yeah, I'll give them a big thank you. We'll debrief, and hopefully we win the second race, because we've been winning a lot of first races, but not second races. So yeah, let's see how we do.
Well done, Mr. Saturday. See if you can make it, Mr. Sunday, as well. Céline Roland, congratulations, mate. Good for the championship too.
Yeah, thank you, John. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
There's positivity for you. Céline Roland then going to celebrate on the top step of the podium. Michael Carter has had his points lead cut in the championship after another awesomely exciting and entertaining race around Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course. That was round 7 of the 2021 Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup, presented by BF Goodrich Tires, Hickson Motorsports, Celine Roland. You win it. We'll do it all again tomorrow. See you then.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.